Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoe'sReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. How are you doing, my good man?
Doing just fine. How about yourself?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Hope everyone in the chat and the comments is having a good Saturday morning already, or whatever it may be in your part of the universe. We've already got loads of people in the chat. Brilliant, awesome. Yeah, welcome to the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoe'sReborn.com, all of that good stuff. It's been another interesting week. I'm going to say it's classified heavy this week, and some brilliant comic stuff. Have you been keeping up with the comics, Pat, by any chance?
Buying them or reading them.
Yeah, they don't always necessarily correlate those two aspects on the graph, do they?
Yeah, I find that I got to be in a good mood to sit down and just, you know, be just with me, myself, and my mind, and then also the comic book. So I'm a little bit behind. I'm quite a lot behind.
How are we going to get you in a good mood? How is that? How are we going to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've been stressing lately, and we've got a week left, and I probably need to do some editing in order to hopefully get an episode cranked out. So I really shouldn't be sitting around watching TV or reading comics. So
or doing podcasts. Get out. Get off here. Go do your edit. No, I'm just kidding. Stay here. Everyone in the chat, hope everyone's doing really well. We've got loads to talk about today and lots of image. It's very image heavy. But first, we're going to be delving into the comics. And like I said in previous kind of episodes, it's spoilery. I'm not going to give away loads, but I'm going to talk about, to a degree, both of those issues that came out in the week, 305 and Cobra Commander issue 3. There's lots of really cool stuff happening in both comics, and I kind of want to touch on some of it. So if you are not reading the comics, but you want to soon, and you don't want any spoilers, then now is probably a good time to mute it and maybe just every now and again have a glance to see where we're at coming back into it. But anyway, just giving you enough warning, we're going to get stuck into a bit of
spoiler. My spoiler hat. I'll wear a hat until spoilers are over. How about that?
Oh, that's genius. There you go. Pat's spoiler hat. There you go.
Spoiler hat.
All right, well, cool. Let's do it. Yes, we have A Real American Hero issue 305 and Cobra Commander issue 3, both dropped in the week. And we also got some amazing kind of reveals of Cobra Commander issue 4 covers as well, which we will be discussing later on. So there will be an element of spoilers in this one, I'm afraid, guys. I'm just going to have to tear the Band-Aid off right away. But first off, actually, let's tuck into issue 305 of A Real American Hero. Now, Pat, I know you're not reading this at the moment, so you can sit back and relax while I do a quick cliff notes of this particular issue. But basically, we're in a position now where Cobra Commander and his troops in Springfield have just become aware that Revanche have been checking them out. And in that time, when Cobra Commander was doing some sort of like speech to his troops, excuse me, a bunch of Revanche upgraded kind of Cobra troopers infiltrated Springfield, took a bit, you know, did a bit of a recce, got the information, sent back to Serpentor Khan and Dr. Mindbender. And in that time, Dawn Moreno was also in Springfield, checking up on her folks, but also reccing what was going on in Springfield with Cobra and all of that good stuff. Now, she came across those troops, had a fight with them, as we explained on the last issue, and effectively, they just blew themselves up because they were not kind of like, they knew they were going to lose the fight. She's a ninja, and they just self-destructed. Now, in alternate kind of side info, like, you know, side stories that are going on, the Joes had taken and requested a bunch of these Revanche upgraded kind of like droids, cyborgs, whatever you want to call them, And they're in the pit and they've kind of broken them down. And a really fun little thing happens in the story, Pat, which I'm going to run by you anyway. This happens. So they've got one of the revanche droids on the kind of like, you know, the table, what have you. And they're kind of like, they've broken it down and all this kind of stuff. And then one of its hands kind of like comes to life and starts to take over. And they have to destroy that and take out the cyborg that has kind of come back to life. Very similar vibes, isn't it, to that issue 3 of the Marvel run?
It is. I'm sure this is intentional.
Oh, it has to be. Same table and everything. The reason I bring this up is because Mark and Tim of Talking Joe, they didn't cover this in their review of the issue, but they did post it after the fact, and kind of this is their image as well. So I'm just stealing from them really more than anything else. But I love the fact that this was, you know, thrown out there as like a little homage. And I knew you'd like that one, Pat, because isn't this one of those issues that you're really kind of connected to?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I can remember being a kid at my great-grandmother's house and walking up the street. It was like in an area that's kind of like small town USA.
Yeah.
And going to the newsstand, and issue number 3 was there. And that was whenever I learned that there was a G.I. Joe comic book. And, you know, I got to buy that one and take it with me. And
that's awesome.
That was probably, I don't know when that was. I have no idea when that was. But I had it was
during of I'm imagining it was when the issue was out originally, though, right?
Like, oh yeah, it was original release. It was like, I want to say it was the current issue on the shelf, but you never know if they had just not taken it down for a little while.
Yeah,
because then after that
issue,
Then after that, whenever it came time to that, the opportunity to get a subscription came up, which was quite some time later, because we do subscriptions to things at school. I asked for a subscription to G.I. Joe, and then issue 21 was the first one that I got as a subscriber.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were you upset that it didn't have any words in it to read?
No, I thought that it was amazing. I loved it.
That's awesome. What an issue to get on that,
right?
That one as well. That's brilliant. Yeah. That is hilarious. Anyway, yes. So going back into this issue, obviously, I'm not going to go into all the details, but effectively, we've got a few things going on in that Revanche are still kind of trying to kind of work with Cobra. Now, something does actually happen in there, which I will hold for now, and I won't spoil, because it is sort of a plot point. But there is an appearance of a Python officer, which I thought was quite a nice little touch. So kind of, and I think it's the 2.0, so it's really the trooper, which is kind of hilarious that mistake now has bled into the comic. But Python officer is on show in the, at least I think it's the Python. Yeah, I think it is the Python officer trooper, if that makes sense, from Classified. So, but it's, yeah, really nice to see them kind of delving into different decos as well. And also it's during like a kind of, point, it's almost like a specialty. This is like the only trooper it's the only officer that's there on in the room, and they're doing like a special thing where they're kind of like getting the revanche. They're getting basically all of the kind of affected or infected people. They're getting the revanche upgrade, so he's kind of taking them through that process. But he's also a revanche upgrade as well, which is kind of interesting. So there's an interesting kind of thing that happens in that particular plot point. But I'm not going to ruin that. I'll let you guys find that for yourself if you haven't read 305. But I just wanted to kind of like give you an idea of what's going on in that issue. And again, I have to say, A Real American Hero is doing it for me. The artwork is phenomenal. I'm only showing you one tiny bit of it there, but the actual artwork in general is so good. And I've just been really enjoying the story and the fact that there's been a few, like, you know, twists and turns going on, which is really nice. And kind of, I feel like, I think we talked about this before, but it felt like A Real American Hero was spinning its wheels a little bit towards the end of the IDW run. And now it definitely feels way more focused, which is awesome. Now, we also got in the week Cobra Commander issue 3. And this is an absolute belter of an issue. So the last we left Cobra Commander in this particular part of the issue, he was in trouble. He was underwater. There were lots of kind of like crazy dark energon infected crocodiles floating around. And all of a sudden, he's like having to like fight for his life underwater with these crocodiles. And it turns out that the dreadnoughts, or well, Zan, well, ooh, a certain a certain character who is new to the Energon series pulls him out of the water. Now, that particular character, I won't give away, but continues on throughout this issue. And it's not, I mean, you can probably work it out, as I almost tripped over saying the name. But Zarana and the rest of the Dreadnoughts are at the hut. They get Cobra Commander in and they basically torture him for information. And it gets brutal and it gets really dark. But also, it's really well written because Cobra Commander starts playing mind games with each one of them. So each one of them comes in to try and coax information out, whether it's Ripper or Buzzer or others. And he basically, you know, he doesn't give them any information. He just kind of plays mind games with them. So they end up, they start infighting. Cobra Commander eventually kind of like, he's been there trying to get information himself. So it's like a very nice kind of, you know, well-written kind of little story. And then obviously the guy that's been with him the whole time, we know now, I think last time we explained that it was Nemesis Immortal or Enforcer. I don't think they say Immortal or Enforcer. I don't think they give his name away at all in the issue.
That sounds good to me because I much prefer Nemesis Enforcer.
I'm not sure if they do. I'm going to have to double check that. But either way, it's revealed that we are dealing with Nemesis Enmortalser after all. I remember like the first issue, we were wondering who that guy was with Cobra Commander. We were like, I wonder if that's Grunt, because he called him a Grunt, and then someone said, oh, I wonder if that's Grunt. And I wasn't 100% like rolling with that idea, but I thought it was definitely some sort of Cobra La, you know, person that's gone with him. And then it felt like it was going to be Nemesis Enforcer Immortal, whatever you want to say. But the guy was just, he didn't seem like it could be Nemesis Immortal inside that. Do you know what I mean? Like, the guy's huge, Nemesis Immortal. So it was really cool that we, you know, we got that reveal. And there's an amazing double page spread where you see him kind of tear out of that human skin. And it is unreal. I loved it. It's an amazing piece of art. Also, there's a really interesting part during the torture phase where I think it's Ripper or Buzzer. It might be Ripper, wipes blood on his mask to make a smiley face. So he's got this like blood-soaked smiley face for the rest of the issue, including when Nemesis Immortal turns up and starts like going nuts on loads of people. And he just you see the kind of panels get closer to him in this like almost like Joker-style face going on his mask. It's really cool, really dark. And really, awesome. So, yeah, it was a great issue. We don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air at the moment. We don't know the fates of all that are involved. Obviously, we know that Cobra Commander's all right. And we know that Nemesis Immortal is obviously going to be fine because he's hard as nails. But we don't know what's going to happen to all the Dreadnoughts. So hopefully we'll see in the next issue what's going on there. Pastor Progi said, the letter column mentioned they never thought people would think they meant the actual Grunt. I know, yeah, because he kind of uses the term Grunt in that issue as like almost like a derogatory term, I would say. But anyway, Yorktown Joe says, both issues are smart. A Real American Hero 305, cerebral intrigue, CC3, visceral and very dark. I have to agree with that. Totally, for both of those issues. Pastor Progi says, there's plenty of Z names, don't worry, plus we've already forgotten. Amazing. And also, that if that isn't a hint to what I nearly stumbled over, then I don't know what is. Anyway, that is Cobra Commander issue 3. Now, we also got a bevy of covers revealed for issue 4, and they're all very much of a theme. And again, we've already mentioned Nemesis Immortal / Enforcer's name, so it comes as no surprises that that's what we're going to be dealing with here. Now, I wonder, Pat, if in that issue we are looking at, in not just this issue, cut these covers, but in issue 3, we are looking at the classified version of some description, Nemesis Immortal. You'd think so, right?
Probably. I mean, I would think that they would have Yeah, I would think that they would be informed. And at the same time, I would think that the classified one isn't going to stray too far from what we already know. I don't anticipate that figure being one that we'll get twice
Right.
personally. So I think they'll probably stick close to the original one is probably what we're going to get. So yes, and I think that it'll be a lot like we are familiar with.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. I think it's like, and plus on all these covers, we get different kind of iterations or versions of
Yeah.
Nemesis Enforcer, but it's
You're
really
also
just.
gonna have to tell me when we're close to being done with any spoilers.
Oh yeah, not yet.
Okay.
But it'll be after, it'll be basically after the Skybound bit where I then go, okay, that's it now. And then we'll go on to the
Okay.
next thing. And then you
All
can
right.
whip your hat off. So yeah, we've obviously got Nemesis Immortal here on the cover here, which looks pretty cool. But again, like it's all like wing variations more than anything else. So on this one, we see this kind of beautiful shot as well of him kind of like floating down, like almost like an angelic in a weird way. I probably should say demonic, really, for Nemesis Enforcer, but
Yeah.
there's an angelic kind of vibe here, isn't there? In actual fact, that kind of looks like a famous painting of an angel, and I can't remember what it was. But anyway, I think that might be where they're going with this vibe on this particular cover. But another beauty there, and then this one, of course, that we kind of saw spoiled in some artwork that was posted on YouTube a while back. When yeah, I can't remember who it was that was showing that off, but someone had got like comps and loads of art, like original artwork, and one of them was the connecting covers for Cobra Commander issue, all the five parter basically, and this was on there. But nice to see it there, and of course we had this cover, which was obviously done as a spoiler, but not a spoiler because we all knew who it was, didn't we? Let's face it, and then
Yeah.
obviously it came clear as to who it was in the new issue cover, but that. That's it for spoilers now, Pat. But before you take your hat off, well, you can take it off during the bumper between the issue, this Skybound
Okay.
segment and the next one. And then people will know exactly when the spoilers are over. So anyway, can't wait for Classified Nemesis Immortal. Can't wait for that reveal. And also, if it's anything like what we've seen in these issues, I'm going to be very excited. And there's an, like I said, there's another character in there as well, which might also hint at a classified design. He's got a name only reveal. Have I given too much away? Probably have. But anyway, that's enough for the spoilers. We're going to go on to the next segment now. So here we go. Get ready, Pat. Hey,
Hey.
no more spoilers. The only spoilers now are for those that don't want to know what the figures look like for the classified series. And I can't imagine there are many people that are doing that. Right, Pat. So you had, let's take it first of all, Pat. Let's go through your particular thoughts on the vamp because that came in very recently. And we've got some lovely pictures from yourself, from Andrew Franks, from Justin Bell, and I think from everybody who bought a vamp in the world. It was like vamp spam over the weekend, wasn't it? It was insane.
Yeah, I think everybody was really digging into it and enjoying it. My take on it in a nutshell was we know we're going to get multiple repaints of the Vamp. I don't think that there's anything on this one that needs to be fixed or changed in order to make those in order to fix something whenever
Yeah.
they do that. Obviously, they're going to be changing the weapons and putting doors on it and that sort of thing. So yes, you need to make changes in order to make it true to those other versions. But it wasn't like I was upset with any particular detail on it and feeling like, oh wow, this just doesn't work for me. There were some nice surprises. Yeah, that's a photo I took. I thought that it was fun that the windshield folds down in
Yeah.
order for him to I don't know. I guess he could just point his shotgun out of it.
And yeah, totally. It's been like a high speed chase sort of scenario when he's on his own. I'm totally down with
Yeah.
that. No, I it was really cool because after the weekly last week, we stayed on and talked while you unboxed your vamp, which was really fun. So I got to yeah, we got to kind of like. Well, I got to see you kind of open it and like talk about it and go into all the details. One thing that did happen with yours, mate, which I think probably happened with a lot of people, they may not have really noticed, is that all the tires are exactly the same, aren't they? So you have to, if you want to do the treads going in the right direction, you have to at least change two of them.
Yeah, I noticed that every single tread on mine was opposite the way that they are on the box. And if you look at the box, and we probably could have seen this before because that art had been out there, the treads on the passenger side and the driver's side are flipped around.
Yeah,
they're basically mounted
in the same direction. Yeah,
yeah, they're mounted to the wheel the same way, so that whenever you take it from one side and put it on the other, they don't go the same direction.
Yeah.
And all the ones that are on that picture are opposite the way that mine were mounted. Like, I don't know if some people got them one way and some people got them the other, but you and I kind of discussed, well, which way do we think they should be facing for a real world tire? And then it was plenty easy. I just put a bowl in the microwave for 30 seconds, or maybe it was a minute. Dropped the tire in it after, a bowl of water.
Yeah.
And then I dropped the tire in the water and let it sit in there for maybe 10 seconds and pulled it out. And it made it super easy to just pop off the wheel. And then getting it back on was even easier, I thought. I didn't really even need to reheat it to get it back on there. And I just flipped around two of them and then popped them all on. I think that they warned to make sure that you liked how they were facing before you popped them on. But I did decide that I didn't really have a spot to display it, and I didn't want it to collect dust. So I did pop the wheels off of mine and rebox it. So it wasn't impossible to get those off.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I thought that was going to be a one-and-done scenario.
Yeah, because if it was one-and-done, you'd not be able to get it back in the box. It would not fit either direction. You have to pop the tires off to get them back in the box.
A Punk with Toys said, some people got all four in the same direction. I got two and two.
Okay.
So it sounds like one of those things where it's just an absolute, you know, whatever you're going to get, whatever you get. And then it's just a matter of, but the beauty part is the fact you can take the tire off, flip it around and pop it back on again. You know, it kind of makes that totally fine, really. But and I mean, I can imagine the headache of having to get like all the time, like two tires in that, you know, like get like a box of tires going in that direction, a box of tires going in that direction, and make sure there are two of each in each kind of thing. Like, I imagine that's how it would go, but could you imagine having to work that bit out initially, picking the right tire directions?
Yeah, and I suppose that they could have made it so that you couldn't mix them up by somehow making the passenger side wheels different than the driver's side wheels. But in a lot of ways, that would have...
It would have caused even more issues, wouldn't it, really?
It would have caused more issues, because then if they would have mixed them up, then you couldn't have even put them on the vehicle. So I think it's just...
you've got the right parts, just not necessarily in the right order. That's all it is, really.
And I think most people aren't going to be so picky as to even notice. I think a lot of people will just pop them on and be fine.
Future Fortress Maximus said, I flipped two of my tires as well, but instead of using heat, I used full force. Brilliant. Thank you, Future Fortress Maximus, for this. That's when the name of the movie gets mentioned during the movie. That's what just happened there. Figure six pack. Go check out. You're telling me that the Vamp was modeled from the Lamborghini Cheetah in the late 1970s. There's another vehicle that's modeled after as well. Go check out our armor episode on the Vamp, because I go through a huge amount of detail in the history of the creation of not just the Cheetah, but also the other vehicle. I always forget the name of it. It's like an M311 or something, was it, Pat? M3?
I don't remember what it was called, but yeah, there are two vehicles that inspired the Vamp.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Anyway. Anywho, I did a whole lot of research on it and then forgot all about it, which is great.
And the Vamp was not... Did we include in there that the Vamp was not the first time that it was supposed to be in G.I. Joe?
We did not, but we talked about this before, didn't we? Because it was going to be in... I remember Daryl did an amazing... he did an amazing panel about this, didn't he?
He did. And that... I'm pretty sure that information is on the 12-inch 3D Joe's website.
Yeah, and that was going to be in, what was it? It was for the action, the GI, the original, like the 12-inch line, wasn't it? Basically,
yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah,
yeah.
That was a really good panel. That was a really good panel. But yeah, and shout out to Daryl DePriest as well, who I haven't seen in ages. Daryl, how you doing, bud? Anyway, let's talk Vamp Images Pack, because this is another one that you threw our way, showing the absolute beauty of that mirror.
Yeah, I was impressed that not only, I mean, because a lot of times you get toy vehicles and the rear view mirrors don't have anything in them. They're not painted. They're just kind of there for looks, and that's fine. Other times you get them and they've painted the inside of them so that they're silver, and that's fine. But this time, it actually is a reflective surface. I was really impressed that I could actually see everything through the surface of that. I think it's just like a shiny sticker that's in there.
So cool.
But yeah, you can clearly see clutch here in the rear view mirror. So I was really happy that that was a possibility.
Tac-Tac says, does the Grunt helmet head fit on clutch? I don't know, because I have one, not the other. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, everybody in the area gobbled up the Grunts at the cheap price. So I do not have a Grunt, so I don't know.
York Tanjo says, treads are irrelevant to my middle-aged bifocal assisted eyes. I like that one. That's hilarious. I probably wouldn't have noticed either. But then when you do know that there's a difference, you look and then you go, right, I can't unsee that. Shelf Presence says, I just got notification that Big Boa is shipping soon from BBTS. Well, we talk about Big Boa in a second. And yes, I believe BBTS is just got him in stock, didn't they? Which is crazy. But then all of those figures are going to be shipping soon. We're going to be seeing them very soon, which is crazy. The time periods between pre-order to delivery now are getting very minimal, aren't they? Like, it used to be that we'd be waiting for, do you remember Outback? Like, oh my God, wait for about 9 months for that to come through.
Well, I mean, I am still waiting on that Arctic Bat that I pre-ordered from Big Bad Toy Store.
I don't know why. There's some figures that just get lost in the ether, don't they? Arctic Bat was one. I mean, I got my Arctic Bat, but loads of people got Arctic Bats, but loads of people didn't. It was a crapshoot for Arctic Bat. Yeah. And then the other one, I think, was... what was the other one that was kind of similar in that vein to the Arctic Bat? I can't remember now. But another one of them has been a bit funny to kind of get hold of. But yeah, it's definitely getting to the point where they're just really getting that stuff out, which is nuts. Okay, right, more images. Justin Bell, shout out to Justin Bell for giving us all these lovely backyard images, Kitty said. And some crackers here, look, fighting the Hiss tank. I was quite impressed with the comparison between the Hiss and the Vamp, actually. I thought the Hiss was going to absolutely dwarf it, but it really doesn't, does it?
No, I really think that we got a lot of value out of the $100 for the figure and vehicle here.
That's nuts, isn't it? Absolutely nuts. What did you think of Clutch, by the way? Did you enjoy that figure?
Yeah, he's good. Again, I'm not wild about, you know, how classified is, like, it's a thing. Give them a facial scar, give them a tattoo, and then they're updated.
Yeah.
I'd rather, you know, we look to other things, but the toolkit on his hip is very cool. I like that a lot. The tattoos are kind of, they look like if he had tattoos, those would be ones that he would have.
Right, yeah. So, like the little kind of the pinup model.
The pinup girl,
like that.
Yeah. That seems like it was a characteristic of Clutch. I think that the paint on the beard of mine looks a little bit better than some of the other ones that I've seen. So
yeah,
there is that. But yeah, you know, he's really good. I always like seeing the textures that they're including on these. So, you know, the brown on his, on the upper torso has like that leathery texture to it. I like it. Yeah. It looks good. It's a good figure.
RKW saying, his shovel is upside down. That's you can blame Justin Bell for putting that on wrong. So yeah, definitely. Anyway, yes. And then, of course, we've got the Techno Viper. So this came in thank courtesy of Luke Poulon, who basically sent us images of this sort of wave without airborne, but Quick Kick, Techno Viper, and Big Boa, and Retro Recondo as well. So we got a lot of images to trawl through. I'm loving the Techno Viper. I'm really excited for this one. I think they've done a really good job with him. There's that kind of concern sometimes that they're going to make them a bit too bulky when you think about their secondaries and all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. I think he looks really kind of really good. Like it's a really good proportional kind of design here.
I agree. I've always really liked this head sculpt as well, and I think that they've nailed it. That's just very kind of a recurring theme of Classified, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, the helmets are all really good.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Some cracking head sculpts. And also very Cylon-esque, isn't it? The kind of this Techno Viper kind of version. Well, there's like little sharp kind of like elements and stuff on the on
that's
the kind
true. Of I never really thought of that, but you are correct. You know what I would really like is all the Impel trading cards had a bunch of colors that were not quite the way that the figure came out. Like,
yeah,
you know, wetsuit version 3 was in version 1 colors.
Yes.
And Techno Viper was in like this black and gray kind of maybe even some blue. But I would love to see Techno Viper released in those colors.
That'd be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. There's definitely, yeah, like I think my head goes back when you're talking about deco changes, goes back to the fan vote we had for the tactician and how one of them was a purple one. And we thought it'd be cool to have like a tactician that was like also worked with the Techno Vipers or whatever. But
yeah, I think that was mostly because people read tactician though and thought technician.
Technician, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also because that color study existed of it in purple as well.
It did. Yeah, so it was just totally. A nice looking figure. I think that's what I voted for, but not because of technician tactician. I just wanted the figure to look more different than the other things that we were getting.
Yeah, I have to. I think I love the figures. I've got to admit on the Hiss Tank, but yeah, it would have been nice to get something ever so slightly different on the tactician. I think that'd have been cool. Anyway, yeah, so the here is all geared up as well. And I love the fact that we've got a lot of cool little features going on here. We've got a backpack that holds all of his extra accessories. We've got that hose connection, which is really dope as well, which connects to the kind of whatever that thing is. And then we also have, well, what is it, Pat? Because we've talked about this in the past.
The welder? Forget.
Yeah, it is a welder, isn't it? And I love that the holographic display thing that plugs into his arm. I think that's such a good touch.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like seeing the details on it, how it has like Cobra Tech or something written on it.
Yeah. I don't think I put that image up on the screen because I'm an idiot. But yeah, there's some great details on the actual holographic display, definitely. And of course, the fact that he's got two different tampo readouts on his wrist gauntlets is just so good. Like, they could have just gone with something generic. They could have just gone with one of them being like mm-hmm. that and the other one was just closed. So the fact they've gone with two different ones and they've got different information on them, I think that's a win on that one big time.
Yeah. That's not his battery though on it. He's could be one of those guys that drives me crazy, doesn't keep his battery charged.
Just got 1% on there. Like, how are you operating on 4% right now? Like, how are you doing anything? I've got to put it into airplane mode just to conserve the battery. I'm like, oh, just plug it in. Yeah, same. I have if I dip below like 50%, I get worried.
Me too.
And I get start plugging it in again. Yeah, it's terrible. That's so funny though, Pat. But you're right, it does look like his battery's getting low. It's why the image isn't clear enough. It's not bright. The screen's had to save some energy, so it's the brightness has been dropped. Plasma cutter welder. Thank you, Figure Six Pack. Awesome. You never go full charge, says RKW. Lols. Should have come with a charging cord. It kind of does pass the pro. There it is. There's the charging cord. Done, sorted. Plug that in. Away you go, mate. And then, of course, we've got Big Boa. Now, this is an interesting one because we get the alternate head here, Pat. I know we've discussed this in the past as well. Any change of thought seeing it in hand now?
Well, it's not really in hand of my hands.
So, not your hand.
Yeah, not really. I mean, again, I don't think that Big Bobo was ever one where he needed to be a mystery character.
Correct.
That was never my feeling on Big Bobo. Like, we shouldn't see his face.
Imagine if they took the helmet off and there was an Arashikagi tattoo on his forehead.
Yeah, too much.
Hear me out, though. Hear me out, mate. Hear me out. Ninja Commando's Big Boa.
Yeah, that could have happened because anybody was kind of in Ninja Commandos, weren't they?
And at least he's got some sort of fighting experience in that sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got, like, it's not a martial art, is it, boxing? But it is a, you know, it's an art form of fighting. So maybe, I don't know, is that too much of a stretch?
No, that's fine. He could be a Ninja Commando.
Okay.
Because I don't know what that means. I don't think that means ninja. I think it means Ninja Commando, which I don't know then what that means, but it means something else.
It means road pigs involved, and that makes no sense whatsoever. And Flint as well. Blew my mind. But anyway, yeah. Yes. No changes in how you feel about the figure?
No, I think he looks really good.
Or lovely nipples as well. Quite spaced out though. Like, he's got a nipple on the right hand side that's like literally almost feels like on the side of his breast. Have you noticed that?
No, I wasn't looking at his nipples.
Why weren't you looking at his nipples?
I'm glad you pointed those out. So I hope that I get even nipples on the one that I end up with.
Well, they're molded on, so I hope they find them in the right place there for him. But anyway, really cool. Blood on the old wraps as well, which is again, that's actually turned out better than I thought it would.
Yeah, you know, I'm not wild about battle damage on anything, or it's not even just the factor of battle damage. It's the fact that things, if they look too played with, they don't look like they're in a state that's ready to go for me as a kid to apply my own imagination to it.
Right.
It's like, oh, something's already in the midst of happening.
Right.
That's what I don't care for. I don't want to be the one joining in on things, if that makes any sense. So
yeah,
that's why
totally.
I don't like excessive battle damage. I like things to look lived in, but not damaged and worn down and terrible.
So you weren't a big fan
to that.
You weren't a big fan of that whole period of the Transformers line then, when they literally all had like scratches and dirt and...
Those were terrible. It would be like, you know, the figure would look perfectly new except for he had dirty elbows. And it's like, well, you know, he just doesn't wash his elbows or doesn't clean his elbows. What does that mean? There's way too much to wrap your head around for Transformers, because... You know, Transformer, the way that they transform could mean that they're like always walking on the roof of their car with their feet, which would mean that in car mode, their roof would be really damaged. Unless for some reason, which was my kid mind actually thought of these things, unless for some reason what they're made of prevents that from happening.
Right.
Which means they should just always look clean. So a line of Transformers where they were doing battle damage, like, oh, he has dirty shoulders, looked dumb to me. I didn't like it at all.
Like, I think it's a like little and often. Like, I feel like if they did, like, if there was a figure available that looked like it wasn't, that was like, you know, brand new looking like an actual figure, and then there's a repaint done where it was battle damaged, but that was the only version of that, like not a whole line of them, but just like a repaint of that figure. It's like, fair enough. Like, you got the choice then to go, I'll get this one because I don't really want a figure covered in poo. But, you know, like, it might be, but now, but the whole thing with the Transformers line was, it was during the animated series thing, wasn't it? And every one of them literally had the exact, like, overdone, I think, like really overdone scratches and you know, imperfections and everything. And just like, I don't know, it just seemed to be too much, really.
Yeah, and then, you know, figures that would be the same tooling, they'd get together and be like, I have the same battle damage as you. We actually had the same thing happen to us. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, absolutely. I will also say that I definitely feel like there was an attempt made with the head sculpt to sort of capture a Rocky Balboa after a fight sort of vibe. And I know, like, you know, for the whole reason that you've been dealing with a figure with a lot of history regarding Rocky Balboa, I feel like it might have been done and not mentioned because obviously they don't want to get into trouble. But it's not, it doesn't have his likeness. It doesn't have Stallone's likeness, but it does have that vibe to me that they were trying to, they were going for kind of like a, you know, a Rocky and Rocky One sort of scenario.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously even has like the damage to his cheek, but that's fine because I would imagine that at any given point that Big Bobo would take his helmet off, even if he, you know, wasn't, you know, he just woke up for the day and is about to go out. He's still going to have that roughness from previous days since this is just something he's constantly doing. Yeah. You know, that's more of a lived in than it is battle damage to me.
Oh, it's a lived in face, that, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a call the landlord because we need some maintenance done face right there. That's a party that's gone on a bit too long. I think the figure looks really cool. I've always been a bit of a I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Big Boa because I had him as a kid and I loved the punching bag and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that I must admit I do like what they've done with the gloves and they look like a good size pat. I know we talked about this before that you didn't want them to look too small, you didn't want them to look too big. I think they've got a decent size to them.
You know what? You're right. They do look a little bit better, I think, here than they did in renders. And I kind of want to see them actually in hand, in person, because there was something about them that in the renders to me were looking like mittens rather than boxing gloves.
Right, right. Definitely. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think I'm looking at these ones and I'm actually thinking they actually looks pretty good. Like, proportionally looks right. But it feels like there's a squidge to them. Do you know what I mean? It feels like there's like a, you could squeeze them and there'd be a little bit of give and all that kind of stuff. Although he's probably put something like really, he's probably got some sort of like metal strip inside there as well. Would not surprise me. Put a few conkers in there. And also the wrist set, separate wrist segments. I wasn't actually aware of that. I thought they'd just plug into the hand. I didn't realize the little wrist things that went with them. So that's kind of cool too. I don't know what I actually expected. Maybe I thought that they were connected somehow and that the gloves would plug in with the wrist attached to it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you may have just been kind of thinking of the 25th one, because that's how the 25th one was. Yeah, it didn't have a cuff. It was just all one solid piece. But this way, you know, you'll be able to get some pose out of the glove once it's on. So that's good.
Absolutely. Yeah, really good. Really cool. And then, of course, quick kick. Lovely, lovely quick kick with multiple, again, also alternate heads to choose from as well. This is this kind of stand, like default head, I think, with one of his eyebrows slightly raised, quite like that, and slightly less going on in the windswept hair and, you know, headband. And then we have the alternate head, which is slightly mouth opened, definitely more of a raised eyebrow, and the hair is definitely getting blown around in the wind on this one. What are your thoughts on Quick Kick, mate?
You can't swap the hair on these, can you?
No, it's two separate heads.
Okay. It kind of would have been nice if you would have been able to swap the hair and had, like, you know, four different options.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's we're in a weird spot because you and I have discussed before at how much more cost a head puts into the figure. This is not like a deluxe. It's just a standard figure. So it's nice that we're getting this, even though it doesn't really feel like it's costing us extra. But it's so similar that it's a weird addition to me. Like, I'm surprised that they're spending the money to put two heads in here that are so similar.
I will also say, yeah, that then I don't think there's enough difference in them. I think if one of them had like the teeth showing almost, you know, like a kind of real open mouth sort of like, because we've seen Quick Kick in so many, like, you know, comics and in the cartoon and everything, there's so many like different facial expressions they could have done. And they've done two very similar. I mean, one is like more of that kind of like the kind of Bruce Lee looking while he's in the kind of the middle of a fight sort of vibe. But like, I agree with you. I think it would have been good to have something completely different. I'm never a fan Although I like the fact that the hair's obviously different, kind of blowing in the wind sort of thing. But I'm never really a huge fan of alternate heads that are too similar. I feel like it kind of doesn't make any sense. Like, sometimes Super 7 have done it in the past, where it's been like, we've had like four heads with a figure in like, in some aspects. And two of them, you can hardly see a difference in them. And I kind of feel like if you're going to do different heads, they have to be completely emotive, like completely different emotions, really like, stretched far away from each other, because it just doesn't make much sense otherwise. And like, yeah, like super angry, yelling, or and I know we have been burned in the past with maybe the Yojo screaming Duke head. But I still would take something that extreme over something that's just almost hardly any different.
Yeah, and looking at these two, you can clearly tell that headband and above is pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, hardly really any change. Isn't any different. Yeah, it's 10 frames difference. In like, if there was video being shot of him at 24 frames per second, these images are like 5 or 10 frames apart, and that's all it is.
Also, you can even see the difference in eyebrow level is so minimal. It's just a tiny gap on that one, and then no gap on that one. It's ever so slight, the kind of change. I mean, it's literally just the mouth that changes.
Yeah, his eyes really aren't changing expression at all. It's just that hair a little bit.
Yeah, the hair and the mouth, and that's it.
The mouth.
That is literally it. The mouth opens ever so slightly. And
very
weird.
And yet it's costing them, twice as much for the head. The cost of the head is now twice as much.
Yeah, I definitely think they should have done a more extreme head variation, definitely, on that one. But I love the figure. I think he looks great. And Luke's images, I didn't really catch a great shot of the side pattern, but you do see it a little bit on the pants, which is a really nice addition. And it's way more prominent than the renders. The renders kind of like, expressed. So the feet are pretty well detailed as well. Look how kind of veiny they are and blooming bony. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then obviously different options for the storage. Now, I love the fact that you can carry his nunchucks like Michelangelo in that first Ninja Turtle style. Like, that is so awesome. I'm so glad they did that, mate.
Me too. Yeah. I sometimes store, maybe this is a confession or I'm wrong, sometimes I store mine with the chain facing down because it looks better. If it's going to take that U shape, it just looks better facing down. And then I picture how he would be able to pull them out of the belt and reach back there and kind of go, seems a lot like more time than just reaching back and whipping them down.
That's not a confession. That is actually how you would probably have them stored if you were to store them that way behind you. Yeah. I mean, I think my Michelangelo, though, I would have the loops going up at the top because they were like different. They were like
broken. It's really how you would have it.
Exactly. Because
that's like Michelangelo.
As soon as you flex them, it would be like, oh, stress marks appear everywhere.
Stress mark and a kink in one, and the other one would snap off. And that's how your Michelangelo is now.
100%. But like that was different as well because of the size of the bloody things too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think these 100% with you. I think it's just the way Luke's put them in, and that you put them in as you put them in. I put in magazines wrong every single time. It doesn't matter what it is, I will put that it'll be like a USB connector. I'll put it in wrong. Turn it around, wrong. Turn it around again, still wrong. I'm like, how am I doing this wrong every time?
You're trying to put USBs into your GI Joe accessories.
That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Obviously, I need this new connection to put in, don't I? I need that connection to be going in, not
the lightning
USBs.
Cable to go into your GI Joe accessories.
Hang on, let's see if it fits. I'm going to see if it fits. Well, Pat, you joke. You're joking, but it fits like a treat. Look at that.
Well, find a spot for it on Technoviper so that he can charge his.
And now I can charge my gun. Isn't that amazing? I can't charge it because they're my headphones, McLeod. What are you talking about?
You can listen to your gun. Yeah,
yeah, I can listen to what it's saying. Now I'm going to have to put, I took the magazine out. I don't know which way it goes in. I think I've got it wrong again. Perfect. Anyway, yeah, so Quick Kick, great storage options. Love that. And Pat, yes, I will be having mine upside down in the belt. 100% okay. with you on that one. Because that's the thing, yeah, you would grab them lower down and pull them out. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I kind of thought everybody did it the way that they are here and that I was just weird.
Well, I think from a visual perspective, it looks good. It looks cool. It looks fine. Yeah, but you're right. From a practical point of view, it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. Love the backpack.
And I think it is just kind of the Ninja Turtles way to do it, is the way that it is here.
It really is. It's, we've been conditioned as Turtles fans to do that.
I'm sure there are also, you know, people who really have done it. We could look at to see how they've, you know, how has it actually been done by people who know how to use nunchucks.
Absolutely. Like that guy that canes himself in the nuts on the video that went viral when he's doing the things.
I don't know if I'd refer to him.
Okay. Yeah, he's not an expert. My buddy, Ian McQuatty, shout out to Ian McQuatty, when we were much younger, tiny little children, he was into martial arts and his dad had like a bevy of like, you know, swords and all sorts of stuff. And he even had training nunchucks that he let me borrow. We're only young, like, but they were like kind of like hard as hell nunchucks, but then with this kind of like very thin foam kind of like handle coverage, right? So that you could train with them. They'd hurt if you hit yourself with them, but it obviously wouldn't be as dangerous. And I remember taking them home and going nuts with them, like really absolute. And then kind of going, taking them back and thinking, like, you know, getting older and just thinking, man, we did some dangerous stuff as kids. Like, you know, the dumb stuff we did was insane. Yeah. But anyway, he had some of those training ones and they were well cool. They even had like a little dragon kind of like motif like painted on them. They were really, really cool. That's that little story. They weren't Nerf, put it that way. They were hardcore proper training nunchucks. I can't believe his dad allowed him to let me borrow them. He probably didn't tell him. Anyway, sorry, Ian, for getting you in trouble. Moving on quickly. And of course, we can just about see the pattern here, but like it's pretty prominent because it's obviously in that gray color. So it really does pop nicely on the pants, I think. So I like the fact that we're probably going to get Quick Kick again as a retro version. I could see them doing on card possibly in the future, just for the way that the retro, you know, things kind of pan
That's
out.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, there he is. That's Quick Kick. And then, of course, probably the best accessory ever, and I'm glad they went and did this one, is the Fudgy Bar. And the fact that it's open, there's chocolate, and there's in the foil. I really like this. It's a great little accessory.
It is, yeah. I think that this kind of thing helps bring character to figures. I think I can remember that Spider-Man figure that came with a slice of pizza.
Yes.
And everyone was going crazy over that slice of pizza. I kind of like the addition of stuff like that with some of these figures. So this to me is in that territory.
Someone was mentioning, I think there's no straps on the backpack. So it looks a bit weird that Quick Kick's carrying it, but I just assumed it was his sash that was the carrier for the backpack, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I may even have, when I get my Quick Kick, I'll probably put it at an angle. Because, you know, in like reality, a backpack on a sash would not work very well. It wouldn't hang very comfortably unless there was some sort of reinforcement on where the sash met the backpack. But I'd probably put it at an angle so it kind of went with the angle of the sash and looked kind of interesting like that. So I might try that with my Quick Kick. But
I think that's why the original Quick Kick has that backpack that is kind of at an angle at the top anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, so like it's weird that they gave him this one.
Yeah, you're right. Kind of like almost like it it's sitting as if it's connected to the sash. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to do that with this backpack. I would also probably give this backpack to Jinx with the swords. If they did a retro version of Jinx with sleeves, I think giving her this backpack with the swords would cover that particular aspect of retro Jinx perfectly.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. She definitely needs one that holds two swords. Yep.
Madam Two Swords. Yeah, and And of course, we've talked about the Ninja Star in the past. We don't really need to cover that again. But that isn't something that you're fond of necessarily, is it, Pat? You prefer the just give him a Ninja Star and we'll put it in his fingers.
Right. I would like an individual one. I think that somebody can just make one and I would be happy with that. But you know, Hasbro should have been the one to do it, personally.
I can't remember if there's anything else left on this. Yeah,
not
there is.
On Quick Kick, but there is a retro figure next.
There we go. It's Rakondo. Now, this one, we know this figure. We've seen it already with the Tiger Force, but nice to finally get Rakondo in his original gear here. And I think he's turned out really nicely, honestly. Again, there's not much. I mean, the figure's great. The Tiger Force one in general is a great figure. So I don't really, you know, this to me is just a cherry on the icing on the cake. Are you a fan of the Rakondo figure, Pat?
Yeah, I think it looks great. Even my only real thought here is, why don't we have a pack of those stands yet on Hasbro Pulse?
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? They actually were asked that question, I think, on Adventures in Collecting, which we'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
But they kind of, you know, how they so a bit of a political response, but they were talking, you know, they talked about, you know, what their idea and what their overall plan is and stuff, but not really, they didn't, you know, they can't really answer those things so directly a lot of the time. But anyway, the little kind of the patch is nice as well, isn't it? I'm glad they've kind of included that.
Me too. I like it for sure. Yeah, there's not really anything I would want changed on this at all.
No, it looks good. I think they got the elbows the right color. That was the only issue, I think, on the Tiger Force one, wasn't it? That the elbow plastic was a slight different
kind of
color.
Match.
Yeah.
His gear in his left hip is very large, but it's fine.
Yeah, you don't see it as much on the Tiger Force version, do you? Because of the color of the pants.
The color but kind of blends in. Yeah.
Yeah, it stands out on this one, definitely. Elbows have been great lately, says Future Fortress. Yeah, I haven't really had any issues with that. That Mezco Snake Eyes has lots of extra throwing stars if you want to have one, says a punk with toys. Yeah, and that Mezco Snake Eyes, by all accounts, is phenomenal as well. I've heard great things about that figure. Anyway, I think that's it. I think that's it for the figures. Pat might be able to tell me otherwise.
Yes, that is it.
Yay! Yep. Right, let's move on to the next bit of news, which is listings. It's Pat's favourite! This is where I get really excited and Pat goes, I hate you with all my heart at this point of the show.
Well, I've decided from now on, I'm just going to say some things like, I feel tricks over it, or I feel halfsies. I'm just going to give code names to how I feel about the code names. And then you can just decide. And
this is brilliant.
Going to be cereal.
Pat's going to accidentally create new slang terminology right now that's going to, like, go around the globe.
And everybody will be just all Weetabix about it.
I was not expecting Weetabix to be used. do you guys
no, we don't have Weetabix. I did that just for you.
That's amazing. Right, composure. I'll stop crying. Oh my god, that was genius. I was not expecting Weetabix right there. Oh my god, Pat, please don't do that to me again. Right, new listings. But before we get into the listings, there's also some live classified reveals as well the other day on Adventures in Collecting. So massive shout out to the guys at Adventures in Collecting for their latest episode with Emily, Lenny and Tony. And during that during that Weetabix level interview, I'm assuming it's a good thing, Pat, in that sense. We don't know though. You're gonna have to unlock that in 3 months' time for us, right? In three months, you're gonna unlock all
these. Find out what Weetabix stands for.
Anyway, yes. So yeah, it was a really good interview though. Really enjoyed it, and lots of depth and detail they went into, which is really cool about all sorts of aspects, including Lenny went on a kind of tangent about, like, you know, some of the factory kind of level, you know, details and stuff like that, and also logistics and all that stuff. I mean, things that I think we've known about for a long time, but people still kind of, I don't know, I still see questions about things, and I kind of go, well, we know the answer to that. I don't think the questions are really questions that they want to ask. They're posed in a way that they just is the frustration of the person asking them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a frustration that they don't know, or they do know, but they don't like the fact that certain weapons aren't with certain characters. So an iconic weapon isn't with a certain character, even though that weapon is in the line. We know the reason why. It's a logistical one. If they could, it would probably cost more money to rearrange the line plan in a certain way to get a certain figure with a weapon, that because it's being utilized somewhere else, for example. Do you know what I mean? Like, there will be reasons about it, reason why they can't do it. And it is a logistical nightmare, and some sacrifices do have to get made. And what Lenny did say was, well, their viewpoint is that, well, that weapon is in the line. You can access it, you can get it, and you can put it with that other figure if you want to. Now, that does obviously force the hand of someone buying it to buy maybe a figure they maybe didn't want to get or weren't going to bother with until it came with that weapon. And I get that frustration, but then I feel like that frustration is then formed into, why can't you do a figure with that weapon? And it's like a circle. Do you know what I mean? It's like that thing of, like, well, we know why. Is it just frustration that's coming out on the person who's asking the question? Do you know what I mean? That's what I feel is happening a lot in the fandom.
Sure. I mean, I don't know the specifics of what you're talking about. I haven't watched this. I guess it's even just seeing Rogue Pig there. It makes me think of the 25th one that didn't have that crossbow, but then the crossbow was available later. In the 50th line, was it? In that kit that came with Eel.
Yeah.
So there's always been a little bit of an element of that. And then even sometimes, especially in the 25th line, you could tell that they were preparing themselves for parts for future use. Like, you know, like Retaliation figures came with the mask. It was going to be handy whenever they wanted to do dice, but maybe didn't have the budget to make new parts.
Right, right.
Parts budget for one figure, you'd see stuff for future figures. And I don't know that it always ended up that way, that they always ended up using those parts that would make sense for that figure. Like, I guess Iron Claw did end up coming with those big claws that came out for Retaliation or Rise of Commander.
Yeah. But the
plan for him was to not include it, but the club ended up including it. So sometimes some of that stuff just, I don't know. I think it's a lot like just having an editor after you're done with your work. You write, you make something, and you know that it's going to get filtered through an editor. So in the case of toys, maybe you just try to get it out in some other way. The budget is there, because clearly, like, for some unknown reason, two heads made it through for Quick Kick, and I don't understand that.
Yeah,
sometimes stuff will get chopped. So
yeah, I'm not saying they're infallible. Like, you know, I'll say right now that, you know, mistakes are made, and oftentimes are rectified. But, like, I feel like, you know, in some cases, we know the answer already. I feel like it's really just a way of them holding people accountable for what they feel are, like, egregious errors big enough to warrant that kind of frustration, if you know what I mean. And I get it. I understand it. Well, I feel like sometimes it's not really, you're not really asking the question expecting a different answer. You know the answer, and it's really just the question is there to make it clear that you're displeased with something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that happens quite often with them. And
I've got plenty of questions stored myself.
Well, I mean, same, actually, because I feel like What was the one thing that I was talking about the other day that I thought was kind of a weird kind of situation? Well, it might have been the Snow Serpent. It might have been the Snow Serpent retro card. And how, you know, like...
Fact just said Snow Serpent didn't have his original mortar. That's what he literally just typed.
Original mortar and not having an AK-47, even though there's obviously it's in the line. But what that tells me is that it's being utilized elsewhere. That's the problem. But at the same time, I still feel like an AK couldn't have been that much of a logistical nightmare to get an AK in there.
Right. Yeah. And you need, sometimes I think that they just need to work it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate. I don't know. I guess the other thing that we're up against is the fact that in the vintage line, stuff like this would happen, but you would never know it because
of course,
the thing that came out ended up being the definitive version of the figure. And now we're kind of expecting them to bend things to match that. So I'm sure it's difficult to make ends meet for them.
That's a really good point, because we do know now that certain things were going to be given to a certain character and then it didn't happen and they got something else and that became their signature thing. There's loads of stuff like that. Mutt's Mac 10 is a big shout, actually, Travis, on that one.
Right.
Blitz says the snowshoes, obviously not in the retro Snow Serpent. Yeah, it's really just the deco of the Snow Serpent. There's not much else.
The Harrison Townsend comment about the old Q&As, it's very true.
Yeah. Joe versus Cobra era, yeah.
When are we going to get a flag?
Somebody would always ask, are we going to get a flag?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was annoying. I used to find that if you're in like certain kind of interview kind of situations with groups of people, like sometimes a question is asked and you're kind of like, oh, you know, that's going to waste some time now. And we there's a lot of other things we could be working on that isn't this obvious thing that has an obvious answer. But definitely. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Okay. So we did get, though, during Adventures in Collecting's actually very good interview, may I add, with Emily, Lenny and Tony. They dropped Blowtorch and Road Pig for the Classified series. Road Pig obviously being one of the worst kept secrets so far as well. Kind of came out with that Nemesis Enforcer, Heart Wrencher and Starduster list a while back, which was then kind of like taken back and said it was, no, this isn't actually stuff that's coming out. It's my, you know, it was T1 Toys, like most wanted kind of thing. But to be honest, we knew they were coming anyway. So, so it was one of those things where, well, cat's out of the bag now, pig's out of the bag now. And of course, Blowtorch, which was new to us. That was one that we didn't know we hadn't heard from an official kind of aspect that it was coming. So it was really nice to get that, that addition. Are you excited for either or both, one of these more than the other, Pat? I mean, what are your feelings on these two additions?
For sure. Road Pig is one of my favorite additions to the Dreadnoughts past those original three or four. Like Zartan and the original three feel like they're the core foundation, and then everything else is additions to that. And Road Pig's one of my favorites. You know, Blowtorch, he's one of my Joes that I had as a kid. And there's always a special place in your heart for the figures you had then. So, I like both of these.
Are you expecting a Blowtorch in the Night Force in that tan and green? Is that something that might have crossed your mind at any point?
That never occurred to me that they could make that as Night Force, but yeah, you could. You could make that be a Night Force figure, and sure, I guess.
It's technically not a sub team redeco or anything. It is just a random color study option,
right?
Isn't it?
Right. And it seemed like that was the one, since they had sent that on to Bill Merkline, that was the color that they had planned originally. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense that they were going with that green. And then, you know, did a line review and not just a review of Blowtorch and realized that they wanted a little bit more color pop somewhere in the toy line.
Yeah.
And so they would have changed it to this orangey red and yellow instead. I like the history that color deco has behind it. And if you're going to include like Big Ben in Night Force, I kind of think that it would be fine to just decide that that's a Night Force blowtorch.
I think he makes
sense. We already have Carbroil and Night Force, but sure.
Well, yeah, you're totally right. I do think him and Charbroil in Night Force would make sense because you'd have multiple flamethrower people to deal with mole rats, which is obviously the first thing you think of with zombies is like, you know, you need to burn that disease out. So it kind of makes sense that there's like flamethrower guys in the Night Force anyway with this theme. And also the whole bringing light to the darkness sort of thing really is a metaphor on the nose with Blowtorch and Charbroil. So I think it'd be kind of a cool way to do it, because I do think they'd want to reutilize a very unique figure in some sort of repaint. And the fact that that tan and green one has been done in the modern 4-inch line in recent kind of memory is another kind of like positive move to, you know, get a repaint of that figure done. And I think that's something that will probably be on their minds to get something more out of Blowtorch. Because, I mean, what other figures are you going to utilize? TNT, maybe? TNT, maybe. And that would be, you'd have to probably throw him in a HasLab down the road at some point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't know. But I love both of these for the Classified series. Road Pig, mate. Oh, cannot wait. And we know that he's going to be a figure pet. And I did reveal that to the public on Monday, because we did unlock one of the listings. And that is a highway pet listing. So we do know that Road Pig comes. We can't say what the animal is, but we can say that he comes with an animal. And Pat's getting sweaty now because he's worried that he might say it by accident. Aren't you, Pat?
Yeah. A little bit. Sure.
Don't mention...
I'm going to go back and say on Blowtorch, I'm going to guess that he's going to be very different, and then we'll get a retro Blowtorch later.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I kind of could see that making sense. If we're a reuse of him, rather than guaranteeing that it'll just be a repaint, I could see it being a slightly different configuration for a retro. But yeah, Road Pig, I'm just going to... It's in my mind, it could be a... If they did a pig, it could be with a swappable head so that he'd look kind of like that inexplicable, almost pig-like look that he has in the NES game. Do you remember that? Where you're fighting him?
It's
supposed to look like a pig? You know, please. The sprite is not quite identifiable.
I hope that when they were designing that, they thought they were dealing with an actual human pig person. That's what I hope was actually going through their minds when they designed that. That's amazing. Has Emily's comments on HMS about backers been discussed yet? I don't know what that means, Stanley. I know that she mentioned that the HMS was originally planned to go with the HasLab His Tank. And I remember them talking about that and that they obviously changed tack with that. But I don't know what comments you're talking about specifically on that one. But no, we haven't discussed that part yet either. But anyway, go check out that interview by Adventures in Collecting. It's awesome. And then following, obviously, this, we went through all of what we already know sort of situation. So name only reveals... We added Blowtorch and Road Pig to the graphics. So obviously that is as it is. I'm going to do Let's Talk Classified Saw Viper this weekend. Hopefully bust that one out on Sunday. And then on Monday, we have more listings updates for you guys. So that'd be fun. But for now, we'll talk about what we already know. It's getting busy again, Pat, in the Name Only Reveals segment, isn't it? Like, I mean, we're getting a build up here, aren't we?
It's just all Lucky Charms to me.
That's true. Are they all marshmallows?
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm feeling very frosted mini wheats right now.
Pat's so Weetabix about this, it's not even funny. And if people just joining us are going to be like, what the hell is going on? Obviously, we know the digital renders. She did say that, or Emily did say, sorry, she. Emily did say that there's going to be a Dragonfly update soon. So we'll probably get updates on those figures, Nightfall's Ripcord, Glenda, and Nightfall's Crazy Legs. And I can't tell you how excited I am to see those figures. Like, I need to see those figures. And yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, Retro Beachhead, Retro Eels, Retro Snow Serpent, and the Cobra Ferret. There's a few bits of information floating around at the moment. So we're expecting that those three retro figures and the ferret will probably go up for pre-order on the 4th of April. And that is following the WonderCon kind of reveal situation. We're kind of assuming that's going to be the case. We don't know, we haven't confirmed that yet, but what we do know is that the ferret has just started landing in US ports. So we know that the ferret is shipping info-wise, thanks to Jedi Jaybird on X. We know that the ferret is actually landing in the US as we speak. So it's very likely that a pre-order will go up soon for that, in much the same way that we saw with the Vamp. Or no, the HMS. The HMS /SMS, which, you know, whatever. But the HMS, we saw that hit landfall before the pre-orders went up. So very similar thing happening with the ferret there. So yeah, expect that very soon. Now, what was the other thing I was going to say? Unofficial leaks haven't really... Well, we've taken Road Pig and that's it. We just took Road Pig off. So we know now that... I think we can probably assume Heart Wrencher is, even though it's unofficial, is almost certainly going to happen. So I think Heart Wrencher is locked in on that one based on the fact that that leaked list from before popped out. I think we're pretty solid on that one. We have had external info from different sources regarding the Snowcat and the Thunder Machine as well. So it does sound like the Snowcat and the Thunder Machine have a little bit more kind of like, you know, backup in terms of possibly actually happening. So they've kind of almost been upgraded a little bit inside the unofficial leak segment too, Pat. So does that kind of worry you? Does that scare you a little bit? Does that give you Weetabix vibes?
Well, there's no code names here. We're talking Snowcat and Thunder Machine, so I could just reveal my true feelings.
Good.
No, I kind of wonder what price these may be.
They're more complex than the Vamp, aren't they?
Yeah, they're more complex and a bit larger than the Vamp. So they're two-seaters, but they also have a larger area in the back. And a larger area in the front.
I'd have said junk in the trunk.
Going on.
I'd have said junk in the trunk to describe. Yeah. But the Snowcat has got some Baby Got Back going on. And the Thunder Machine has a giant rocket booster as well.
But as you said, there may actually be some opportunity to share some tooling on the Snowcat with like a Vamp Mark II. I think, weren't we talking about that? Or was that off camera last week?
No, we were talking about off camera when you're with your unboxing. But you're right. Yeah. We were talking about the weapon systems, weren't we, on the back of the Vamp and how that could like work for so many different things. And also, how cool is that weapon system kind of modular setup?
Yeah, I was kind of impressed by it. I mean, I think that there is an opportunity for somebody to make something more classic looking as an add-on kit. But I'm happy with the way that it is. It makes more sense to me for G.I. Joe to be using actual weapons than it did for Serpentor's Air Chariot for some reason.
Right.
So that it was good.
It should have been two snakes and then the ammo would have been there coiled. Tails, that'd have been more in fitting and keeping with a Serpentor's Air Chariot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Two stiff snakes, of course. Anyway, yeah. That's unofficial leaks. And of course, we've seen the Marauders 2 pack, we've seen Sarge, we've seen those actual images, so we know they're coming for sure. The Iron Grenadier bat was my mistake, my bad. And of course, Retro Cobra Commander was another one that we were told about a long time ago. So all of those unofficial leaks feel more and more solid every day now. And it's just a matter of time, I think, before Heart Wrench joins the name-only reveals, to be perfectly honest. But anyway, that's that. Now, the leak listings for 2024. Now this, I'll take you through a couple of changes, guys, because there has been a slight update. You may notice that if you watch the episode we did, the leak listings episode I did on Monday, I think. It was earlier in the week, anyway. I had said that there was a Sal Pet, a code word that had been added. We now know that Sal Pet is Salvador. So there's your update today, and that's on the 2025 listings. So that Salvador listing on the other listing that I'll show in a second when we change pages, that is actually the Sal Pet listing. It's the same, one and the same. So that is the only update for today that I'll give you. But if you didn't see the episode on Monday, then you wouldn't have known that Road Pig was revealed as being Highway Pet. But we can't give away what his pet is. So there you go. That's one update on there. Now, if you go into the other side of the screen, you'll see that we have a few one other change. And that was that the HB Blossom VEH looks to be either Amazon or Famazon. And the reason I say that is because that listing was found on Amazon's system. So because of that, we know that HB Blossom VEH is either an Amazon exclusive or it's a Famazon release. Either of those could be possibilities. So, and it kind of goes with the HB thing being multiply. It was both Target and Walmart, those designations. I know Pat's asleep at the moment, but that's fine. This is not fun for him, and I apologize, Pat. Everything else is as you were, but that was just a little bit of information that you might not have known prior. Now, as we go over to the new listings, or the leaked listings for 2025, these obviously I revealed on Monday. We know obviously Xandar and Leatherneck in that first group of four figures. And there will be a few more updates on Monday to come. And like I said, Salvador, as you can see on the top right, underneath Daria Deluxe there, Salvador is that Sal Pet code word. So Salvador will be a figure and pet set, just to give you all the information that we know of so far. Everything else, not a clue. But there you go. That's your updates. That's everything on the listings. And I think that's everything. Like I said, will be an update on Monday. You'll just have to wait for that one. And as well as that, we've got WonderCon coming up on I think it's the 30th that they do the panel. So it's the 29th to the 31st WonderCon in Anaheim, California. But there will be a panel on the 30th at 3 p.m. That will be 6 p.m. Eastern. And then whatever that works out for the rest of the globe. Room 300E, if you're going to be there, and Hasbro are doing a panel, and they're going to be revealing Cobra team members joining the Classified Series line. So that'll be fun. Pat, are you any other feelings on that? I mean, are you getting any vibes? Are you thinking, what Cobra team members would I like to see, et cetera, et cetera? Any of those coming your way?
Not any new thoughts on it. Yeah, I really don't have any thought on it, to be honest.
No worries. And then, of course, we have that April pre-order segment Entertainment Earth's Drop Zone, which we are assuming will be following WonderCon and would make sense. Anyway, right, I think that's everything. I think that's everything covered, everything discussed, everything done.
It is, yes.
Right, let's get on then, Pat, while we've still got our lives ahead of us. We're still young. On shoutouts.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store, so what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
Yeah, gets hoarding indeed. Right, shout outs, Pat. Starts off, mate. You know who it is.
Yep. Shout out to Philip. I feel like I owe him an episode this month, and I'm not going to have it on time because I looked at what I was working on last night. It's just I don't think that I can do it, but I'm going to work and see what happens.
Yeah, just do it anyway. Just literally, just don't sleep for the rest of the time, and you'll be you'll No problem.
Well, that seems to be happening anyway. My sleeping is just uncontrollable. I'll just wake up and be like, I didn't intend on falling asleep. I was watching something. So, yeah.
What date is Wednesday? What date is Wednesday?
This coming Wednesday,
the 27th.
27th.
Are you up for doing the O-ring special on Wednesday? Is that possible? We'll work.
Yeah, I think I might be able to work that in. Yeah,
we'll work something out because I just realized we haven't done, or you know, we're running out of time for this month to get the monthly out. Yeah. But I'll talk to you about that off camera, not right now while everyone's watching. Sorry, guys, but yeah, we'll try and get that monthly out before the end of the month. But it's gonna be difficult because it's gonna be live, so it'll be easier than normal. But it's gonna trying to work out the availability for everyone, because I do think Adam will want to be involved in that one as well.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes. Right then, I'm going to shout out Kate as well, of course, my wonderful wife, Kate, and Phoebes, who are just upstairs at the moment, waiting for me to finish so we can actually get on with our day. The usual. I'm wearing the same sweater in that shot that I'm right now.
Oh, nice.
Classic. I didn't mean to do that.
I'm wearing pole position today.
Can't say that without singing it. That's definitely a theme tune conditioning that I've gone through with Pole Position.
Yeah.
Pole Position. See?
Love the show. Love it.
Amazing. And it's got an absolutely banging theme tune as well.
It does, yeah.
Amazing stuff. Yeah, we need more. We need a Pole Position toy line. Pole Position. See?
Even the Hot Wheels of the cars. Like, just... give me just the cars, even the amazing.
Yeah, the little pull out like little head deck things, like the little, I don't know what you call it, TVs,
wheels and roadie. Yeah,
I couldn't think of I was trying to describe what the thing is, but it's just a box.
It was just amazing that they had a computer in their car, but it also had to be the size of a CRT television that they put in it.
Yeah, amazing stuff. And every now and again, they get out and they take them with them so that they could continue talking to them as characters. Yeah. Love that.
Because you can't communicate with a computer unless it's in front of you.
Unless you're holding the TV in hand on a handle. Amazing stuff. Never heard of it. RKW, you need to go on YouTube now and watch the entire, if it's on YouTube, but at least the theme tune.
Probably is, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, shout out to my wonderful
wife. Sit back and watch them go.
And our families in the UK and the US, of course, as well. Massive shout out to everybody. And of course, Brian Sauer for the amazing graphics. We've got new graphics. Did anyone notice? I would imagine somebody noticed. But what do you think it is?
A comment earlier. Yes, I saw it. I can't remember who said it, but yes, people noticed.
Good. I'm glad. So yeah, thank you, Brian, for our new spring graphics. And if you didn't know already, yes, it is vintage Shockwave, obviously. But anyway, very nice. Thank you very much, Brian. And of course, also related, Brian, assembly required in Iowa, in Des Moines, Iowa, of course, will be going ahead. And that is on November the 8th and 9th. And of course, is very clearly Destro Iron Grenadier themed. So it looks to be that way. I'm just guessing, obviously. And... I just saw that other comment from Stanley. Yeah, we did talk about that, Stanley, about Emily's comment about the HasLab and the HMS being originally planned to be part of the HasLab, yes. But they decided against it. Now, coming back to this, also revealed by Brian and the team at Assembly Required is an Operation Armor 4, which is dropping in June of 2024. March, April, May, not too long, not too far away, actually. Pat, I know you're involved in this, right?
I think so. Pretty sure.
Yeah, Pat's involved in this. If not, he'll be very upset because he's spent about 700 man hours trying to get what he's doing for it done, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, I put in quite a lot of time, so I hope that there's some payoff and the people tune in and like it.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be an amazing event. And like I said, this is the online version of AR. So this is Operation Armor. What is it again? Assembly Mobile Online Rally. I want to say
That sounds right. Yeah.
So
it's related. So you get kind of a taste of what it may be like if you did everything but showing up and having the fun interaction of people that is kind of the core of assembly required, but you at least get to see a bit of like efforts that are put into panels. And Brian puts so much effort into the artwork of assembly required every year.
Yeah.
That I think you get a taste of that as well. So it's a nice online event, but it is only online. So if you're worried about getting your plane tickets, you really don't need to do it for Operation Armor.
Just turn up basically on this one. No dates for Armor 4 just yet. That is in June. And obviously more details will emerge as we get closer. In terms of assembly required in general, that is November 8th and 9th, 2024. So that's the actual physical assembly required convention. That's November 8th and 9th. And the online version, which is called Armor, is in June. So like I said, more information will come. That is just what has been revealed so far. And do you think there's a theme in the color choice in the background there, Pat? Do you think that's related to anything? They don't do stuff by accident, do they, usually?
No, they don't do things by accident. So I'm just getting hungry for some lemon pies or maybe some key lime right now.
It's very key limey, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Pat's going to basically... So this is another situation where it's a code word and we're going to have to work out what key lime means later, shall we say.
Sure. Yeah.
How Weetabix are you right now? Just out of interest.
I am feeling halfsies on whether or not I want to say. I don't know if you had halfsies, but that was a cereal I was very tired of as a kid.
Oh man, I need to check that one out. How terrible.
I will say that I'm feeling Count Chocula about Operation Armor this year.
Oh, good.
Count Chocula.
That's pretty dope. We didn't have that either. But
you didn't have Count Chocula?
No, we did not. But I know of it.
Come on!
Look how upset he is. I'm sorry.
Have you ever had Count Chocula?
I believe so. I think I've had it.
Believer of Count Chocula.
I'll try it.
Count Chocula.
There's so much American cereal I've never had because we just didn't have any of that stuff, really.
Oh, it's all sugar, but all good. That's Jamaica too.
Some
blueberry and some frankenberry and some.
Yeah, never had any of that stuff. Never had any of that. I kind of get really excited to try having, have like the Halloween stuff that they always do. You know, there's like a Halloween kind of period, and then cereals do change their themes. And I always go, like marketing works on me really easily. Like it really does.
Well, the monster cereals come back for Halloween, but that's more of a modern thing. They used to be year round.
You
just have them all the time. But, and then they got rid of Fruit Brute and introduced Yummy Mummy and got rid of that. But then, the main three went away and I was sad. But it is something every Halloween I try to get some. I actually skipped last Halloween to try to be healthier. You can't
screw
just
that down noise.
Boxes of cereal every single October. So
every meal.
Right. Yeah.
Amazing. Anyway, Operation Armor 4, like I said, coming in June of 2024. Now, slightly upsetting news is that Ron Friedman is currently struggling with, him and his wife are currently struggling with a lot of issues, like medical issues and all that kind of stuff. And they are currently running, or their friends of theirs are currently running a GoFundMe to help Ron and his wife out at the moment because they're moving as well. There's a lot of things happening at the moment for them. And obviously, as we know, in the, medical expenses are absolutely horrendous. And the fact that, this is kind of like, cancer related as well, makes it like even more kind of terrible and rubbish. So there is a link in the description below for Ron's GoFundMe to help him during this really difficult period. Yes, effectively, yes, figure six pack, that is the case. And yeah, and so like I said, Pat, this is another one that's kind of like, I don't know, it just hits hard each time, doesn't it? Because these are people that have been so synonymous with, you know, well, Ron is specifically Transformers, G.I. Joe, the animated series and all that kind of stuff, you know, as a writer and what have you. Another kind of sucky situation we're talking about at the end of an episode.
Yeah, it is. It's hard that our shout outs are that people are going through all this stuff. You know, yeah. I'm not going to not have the downer. It's the facing of reality, but hopefully, sure. Hopefully this just gets a little bit more awareness of what he's going through.
Absolutely. The actual GoFundMe is doing quite well at the moment. So yeah, please keep if you can, let's get to that. Let's get into that goal and everything, and whatever you can, you know, whatever you can do, obviously is going to help. And yeah, like I said, it always just seems, I know everyone's going through, like loads of people are going through this kind of stuff in the world. And like, it just seems to be like, you know, it's just a terrible thing, but it kind of, I don't know, obviously it just hits home a little harder when those people are the ones that have been involved in our lives, in whether it was a way that you didn't know initially or not, you know, like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Sumbo cartoons, and, you know, like he was so like synonymous in those kind of, in that field that it just hits home and it hits harder than usual. So like I said, link in the description, if you can help, obviously do so. It will be absolutely, you know, a huge help in this kind of situation. So that's Ron. And then finally, I thought we'd finish off with another Kickley beauty. Now, he did this, I think, commission as a kind of Worlds Without End kind of nod. You got Steeler there. They're in the Mauler, actually, which is really cool. And obviously, that is what happens in Worlds Without End. Steeler is in the Mauler, of course. And of course, Steeler isn't, that's not his usual ride, is it, Pat?
No, but you know, he would know all the tanks. Any sort of tank, Steeler can handle it.
Absolutely.
So I like it.
And he ends up getting blown up anyway in that Zartan blows up with some missiles. But yeah, Steeler obviously hugely important in that episode, as were Grunt. Flash wasn't in it though. So I'm impressed that and also someone did point out that it kind of looked like Flash is definitely got some Ninja Turtles vibes going on in this one, and I definitely can see that. Love that.
Yeah.
I love that he's even more Ninja Turtley than normal. But yeah, really nice one. Again, Kickley, lovely piece of work, and always enjoy your stuff. And we're always going to highlight it on this show. This is the Kickley segment, basically, at the end of the show. Anyway, that is it for everything. Thank you so much for our listeners, our viewers, our patrons, all of you guys for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. Pat, thanks again, mate, for jumping on, dude, as always.
Yes, and as always, thanks for having me on.
It's a short one this week, only an hour and 38 minutes.
Well, I have to go in like 5 minutes, so it's
right. Short, that's it, but then. like I said, stay fresh, cheese bags, and as always, after three, you know what to do. 1, 2, 3.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on X, formerly Twitter, @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. We've also added a brand new Instagram, so check us out there as well, @TheFullForcePodcast. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on any of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.